You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hey, Zero Episode 21 starts now. I'm your host, Brandon Davis. The Fantastic Four are here today. We're all back reunited. Jamie Girac is here.
Hello. Good morning.
Jenna Anderson is here.
Hey, everybody.
And Aaron Perrine is here.
Hey, guys.
Fantastic Four are all assembled. One day we're all going to like have to assign ourselves Fantastic Four characters.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, we need to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe not today. We'll put some thought into it and we won't just throw it on the spot. But but I think we need to do that on one of these shows. I do want to give a shout out. Layla, one of our biggest Phase Zero listener fans. We love you, Layla, is not with us today because Layla had to get a job so she could buy more Funko figures. So shout out to Layla. We love you. We miss you today. And we're hope you're back on the next live show, which will be on Wednesdays because we are officially moving to Wednesdays because we're going to do episodes following Loki. Jamie doesn't like that.
No, Wednesdays are my Mondays. That sounds terrible to me.
Well, Wednesdays are everybody's Monday now because Loki starts the week. I don't even know what day it is anymore. I lost track of days last year.
Fair. Anyway.
Well, so listen, we got a big show today. A lot of MCU news. Nothing really crazy happened this week, but there was like a lot of just stuff that happened this week. So we have a lot to talk about. But first of all, we have a celebrity in the house, okay? Jamie Girac is on the program. We're lucky to have her that she didn't charge us double for today because I was watching the NBA Finals last night, RIP Lakers run, and I was sitting there and a Cruella commercial came on and it says it pulled a long, big quote from Jamie's review of the movie on comicbook.com, which was a great movie, by the way. If you haven't watched it, highly recommend watching Cruella. I thought it was fantastic. And underneath in huge letters right behind, I think it was behind Emma Thompson, it said, Jamie Girac, comicbook.com. And I was like Leonardo DiCaprio in that meme. I sat up and I was like, But I was watching on an app. I couldn't rewind and take a picture.
If anyone sees this and can somehow record it and send it to me, I would be so grateful. I want it so bad. I want it in my eyeballs because apparently my name is right by Emma Thompson's face. And as I said to Jenna earlier, that's the dream.
Either Emma Thompson or Emma Stone. I was just so thrown.
Either Emma is fine.
I was just like, I need to get my phone. And then it was gone. So congrats on that, though. That's really cool. Way to rep the brand. Nice work.
Thank you.
All right. You're also the celebrity of the day. We're all interviewing you today because everybody, Jamie went to Avengers Campus and everybody here knows I'm tremendously jealous. I was living vicariously through you as many of us were. So, I mean, I'm just going to let you take it. Tell us about Avengers Campus, like going in there, everything. Tell us all of it.
Oh, wow. It was so fun. I mean, it's all about web slingers, right? Because the Guardians ride's been going on for a while. So those are really the two rides. I had not ridden the Guardians ride before, though, and it was terrifying.
It's so good.
a little bit much for me. But the web slingers ride was really good and interesting because it's interactive and you can buy add-ons like your own web shooter and then play. Jackie, our wonderful social media manager, she got one and used it, whereas I was just using my wrist. And my biggest tips and tricks for that, there's like so many. It sucks that you can only ride it once per visit, and you have to go on the mobile app and register to ride it. So there's like a whole lot of layers to this.
You buy a ticket to the park and you just go as a guest, not on like a press day. You can only ride it once a day.
Correct. Yeah. So you have to download the Disneyland app, and you can only register at 7 a.m. and noon on the app. So you got to make sure you do that. And the one thing that sucks about that is that this ride is like riddled with Easter eggs, but you're so focused on shooting the spider bots.
Oh, showing off. Got a spider bot. I love it. Look at that. Yes. That's so cool.
That you're so focused on that you're missing what's going on. So I'm excited. I'm going back on Monday with friends, and I'm not going to like play. I'm just going to use my eyeballs and try to see if I can find anything.
Can you buy those spider bots, or is that just like...
No. And it's cool because
spider bot online.
Did you hear that? And then there's like a remote, and then they move around, and if you have another one, you can make them like battle. And then the top like plops off if you lose. The Black Widow one is dope. I wish I'd gotten that one because it literally looks like a Black Widow spider.
I'm so jealous.
I know.
Wow, that's so cool. Okay, so when you first walk into Canvas, like what is the first thing you see?
So it was kind of, I don't know how it's going to be blocked off normally because it was just kind of for like the press area. So I don't know exactly how, because there's guardians and there was a bunch of bushes that we walked through. I'm going to assume those bushes are going to be removed. But the big, the big Avengers, kind of compound with the Quinjet on top is like the first big thing you see. And you can't go in there. But if you look up, you can see a lot of cool, like people will be up there. Like we saw Black Widow up there, and sometimes I think she'll be like fighting.
Why is she always up high? What is she doing? She's learned nothing. She's learned nothing.
You can see some like demonstrations. There's the Doctor Strange and his little area. It's like a little show that he puts on where he does his like magic. That if you're gonna go see it at night, because I saw it during the day and I was a little underwhelmed. And then when they gave a presentation, they talked about how it like looks at night, and I think it would be infinitely better. And then from there, they have the Pim's testing kitchen and tasting lab. Which I'm so mad I didn't try any food, but it was 9 a.m. and there's like the shawarma cart, and shawarma at 9 a.m. sounded like not a good idea for my body. So I'm going to test out the foods on Monday. But they also have a really cool alcohol selection, like all these like beer mixed cocktail type drinks, and everything is like weirdly sized since it's for the Pims. I want my friends and I to get the $100 sandwich since there's going to be enough of us.
I'm getting it when I go. No question. Yes. I just cashed out on my AMC stock. I'm using it.
Yes. So the food looked really good. I really wish I'd tried the shawarma because it looked amazing. But you know, it's like garlic spread when the sun is beating down on you? I just feel like it's going to seep through my pores for the rest of the day. But I might risk it. Because this time I was like, you know, we were with people that I don't know really well. But on Monday, I'll be with like people that I don't care if I'm seeping garlic at them. So.
I'm happy that I'm obviously making this a work thing because I'm going on the June 21st. And I'm going to try to like get, you know, photos and TikToks and all the content. But I'm going to have a few drinks. I'm going to try a few of those. I'm going to try a few of those Pim drinks. That's
100%.
Sure.
And then next to the Pim, that's where Web Slinger is. And then there's the like little Spider-Man store. And that's really it. It's really small. They cram a lot in there. But there's not much to it. Cause I guess it's where the Bugs Life Land used to be. And it's really not a big area. Galaxy's Edge is definitely bigger. But I will say this, neither Galaxy's Edge nor the Avengers Campus has anything on Wizarding World. I hate to say it because Wizarding World is now makes me sad to think about, but because somebody ruined it for us all. But Wizarding World is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You really feel like you're stepping into into the world. I don't think Galaxy's Edge or Avengers Campus really does that. There are parts of it, you know, when you like you're waiting for Spider-Man inside and that kind of thing. But I don't know if it's just a space issue or maybe it's just there's not like as clear of a universe to create for yourself, especially
that's
in Avengers
what I was
Campus.
Say. I feel like I guess Galaxy's Edge would have that same kind of advantage though. Like I was going to say that they have the advantage of being so different from our world, right? Mm-hmm. That you can create such a space that is so different and immersive. Whereas Avengers Campus, it's like, well, this is like kind of your world, but with superheroes. Mm-hmm. So if you mean like a Doctor Strange land or maybe like an Atlantis or something like nowhere, but just kind of, I don't know. I've heard, you're not the only person I've heard say that. So that's interesting. That it's certainly no Wizarding World.
And it's still great. I mean, you're still having the most fun ever. But nothing, I've never been, and I'm from Florida, so I'm like a big theme park person. And I've never seen anything like Wizarding World in my life in terms of stepping in and feeling like you're there.
I do. I'm on the team that the Florida parks are better than the California parks. I'm just saying that Disney, I just want to put that. The only people I ever hear say that are the people from California that Disneyland is better than Disney World.
I'm more partial to World being from Florida, but now that I live in California, I'm becoming a land person because it's there. It's cool to, you know.
Oh, Disneyland is great, but I mean, Disney World is got like 74 parks and 7 water parks and everything. But Aaron, have you ever been to Disneyland?
Of course. I mean, I was born in LA, so it was down the street.
Have you been to Disney World?
No, actually. Because y'all are talking it up, and I'm like, I have no idea. I have no frame of reference for it. But I like Disneyland. It's dope. I'll put on for Knott's Berry Farm and Magic Mountain and that crap that's down there near where I live. Jamie, with the performers, like the heroes, like doing their like stuff. Circuit around while you guys were in there?
So we did get the Dora Milaje show, which was really cool. You walk in, they're doing all their stuff because look at me, I can do it. And then there's also when you're kind of exiting the land, when you're heading to the cars section, there's this really cool Spider-Man shows up and he like on the building and he does all these flips. I almost had a heart attack. I thought it was going to be like a turn off the dark situation and he was going to plummet to his death.
He got yeeted. It looked like, we posted a TikTok. Shout out to you and Jackie for getting this.
That
concept.
Was all Jackie.
This TikTok
that
got like 7 million views.
Wow.
But deservingly so, because Spider-Man in this video, from what I saw, flies what has to be like 50, maybe 70 feet above the ground. Is he on a wire when he's doing that part of the flight? Because it looked like that part was just in the air.
I literally looked down for a split second, looked up, and that man was so high. I literally, my whole body sank. I feel like once he got to this other side to like crawl down the wall, he had a wire. But when he was flying through the air, I didn't see a wire. He could have had one. Don't get me
wrong.
Our
comment section, Jim Viscardi, banned from the program, is telling us in the comment section that that was an animatronic Spider-Man that flies through the sky. I'm going to pull up the video on my phone and show it to you guys.
If it is, how does it not break when it lands?
So it's like 15 seconds into this video, you'll see it. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that thing flies. I don't know how you make an animatronic fly and balance. But so watch. This is what happens. It he stumbles. That's a real person.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
And then I met him after and got a picture.
That's apparently an animatronic.
Wow.
Like what? How?
Oh, apparently they're saying if you have to watch the Imagineering story and it talks about it, but I'm genuinely shocked. I don't know. I didn't know that. And I don't know how that works.
I'm going with Evan Larson's take in the comment section. It's Tom Holland. That's obviously Tom Holland just earning that paycheck.
Had that video a couple weeks ago of like the animatronic Baby Groot that they're making that actually looks like Baby Groot, like just in actual like real life. It's like the fact that they can make a Spider-Man do that is still surprising to me. But it's like, OK, yeah, of course, they have the technology to do anything at this point.
That's insane. Wow. And that's crazy. And then he comes down and then you can take pictures with him. And that's where you showed off a picture I took, which was, I'm not good at, like, I never snap good photos. And that was actually a really good picture. So I'm glad you posted it.
That's our episode photo for today's show.
Yeah, photographer.
Apple, Spotify. Yeah, that's right. Photo by. Photo cred goes to Jamie Cinematic. Is it MCU canon? Like, does it feel like part of the story?
Great question, because I was at first confused, because on the Web Slinger ride, Peter's kind of talking to you while you're waiting, you know, one of those things. And he says something along the lines of, like, don't tell Tony. And so, like, Tony is alive in the universe of the Avengers campus. And so one of the guys who, you know, helped create it says that when you're in Avengers campus takes place now. Whenever you're there, that's when it takes place. And he mentioned how, you know, Loki is going to really explore with time and space and all that. And that's how you kind of have to think of Avengers Campus. It's kind of, it's here, it's now, it's everywhere. So Tony's alive, you're all of that stuff, which I think that's a nice mindset. In a way, it's like, is this a cop out? But I think it's actually, it's kind of sweet to go somewhere where Tony's alive.
Yeah, you can't like say like, well, everything that happens here is a story. It's part of the story, because like, you could ask Captain America a question there. And he's like, is that just part of the story then the next time we see him? You know what I mean? I did love that they had Anthony Mackie introduce Captain America. That was cool. That was really cool.
Another thing you mentioned before about the characters walking around, all the characters we saw were kind of just like in their like mini show mode. They're called experiences, but it feels more like a mini show. But if you like actual characters, they're going to be walking around, but there's no schedule for that. I asked because I like to meet characters, but you just kind of have to get lucky and just spot them. And I think the big new ones are the Ant-Man and the Wasp, or they're like big. And I will say this though, there's the little shop, the Spider-Man shop, and then there's the one outside of Guardians. But there's a bigger shop that's further into the park, in the backlot store. And it's really cool because it's like stepping into Comic-Con. It really feels like a Comic-Con floor. And that's where they have your $8,000 Iron Man, which is pretty dope. I mean, $8,000 is more money than I could ever imagine spending on something like that. But like, if you have $8,000, it seemed like a pretty good purchase.
Brandon, I'm about to do a fundraiser.
Brandon just became that Joe Exotic meme of like, I'm never going to financially recover for this. Like, this is just, that's just Brandon thinking about going to Avengers Campus.
I was looking at all of Jamie's stuff, and Jackie sent me all the pictures, and like I was watching I made a TikTok yesterday about the Iron Man that's for sale, but in it you can also see all of the other stuff in that store, and it's just like, yeah, you could spend $8,000 on this Iron Man, but then you're still going to want to spend $8,000 more on everything else.
I will say, though, I was pretty bummed. There was not a lot of WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier stuff. Like, my eye, every time I go to anything like this, my eye is immediately looking for Scarlet Witch merch. And the only thing I could find were phone covers. Oh. I didn't see anything else. They had a lot of Black Widow stuff. They had some cool jackets. But I was pretty bummed. I thought now that WandaVision existed, there'd be more Wanda stuff. And maybe, you know, I didn't look... I didn't like hardcore shop because we were on a time limit. But you know what else is interesting? They had a section of Venom and Carnage stuff. I know. And I'm very curious about like this. I asked the question about Sony rights, but they didn't answer my Sony rights question. I guess that was a little too businessy. But I thought that I'm like, I see a Carnage thing, but I don't see a Wanda. Come on.
They don't like business questions. I tried to ask a business question once, and Kevin Feige looked at me and went, oh, Brandon, nobody wants to hear about that. And I was like, anyway, Aaron, I think Aaron was about to.
I was just joking about like Jamie. It might take them a second because if you remember at Galaxy's Edge last year, it took them like a solid 2 months to get the child merch from the Mandalorian.
True, true.
And there were kids screaming. I heard them while we were in there. Like, where's Baby Yoda? Where's Baby Yoda? And I'm like, I can't even get Rey's lightsaber. So they're probably working on it. There's stuff on Shop Disney for Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision that I want. Show off your shirt. Your shirt is part of the collection from the show, Jamie.
Oh, mine? Oh, yeah, this is my Super Yucky shirt, my Catherine Hahn All Along shirt.
Catherine Hahn all along. I love that. I was at Disney World back like earlier this year, and I was surprised by the lack of like just Marvel merch in general. I was at Epcot where the Guardians ride is going, and there was just like I saw pins, and that was pretty much all I saw from on the Marvel front. So I wonder what they're doing, because Disney is usually like the best at having merch. You know what I mean? But I'm sure. I mean, listen. Clearly, there's a lot in there. I'm going to lose my money. does anybody have anything else they wanted to hear about Avengers Campus before we take a quick break?
I know a couple of people in the chat are asking if there was any X-Men stuff, which I know I'm curious about that too.
I didn't see any, but that's not 100% me. Like they might have had something, you know, like there's maybe like a t-shirt, but I didn't spot anything. Nothing that came to mind. There's so much Guardian stuff because of the Guardians ride and so much Spider-Man stuff that if you spot anything else, it's kind of like a treat, an Easter egg treat. So I feel like have me back next week after I go again when I have more time, because I'm going Monday and I can look for these things again. I'll keep
so you're saying Hugh Jackman wasn't walking around?
Not to my knowledge. Sadly.
It was the mask. He hit himself. It was.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah. Keep your eyes out for that when you go back. You're going twice before I go.
I know. Sorry. I planned to go already. So then this just happened. Yeah. So I got lucky.
I can't wait to get out there. If anybody's going to be at Avengers Campus on June 21st, hit me up. And if you're in downtown Disney on June 20th, I'll be drinking on Sunday afternoon, thinking about how excited I am. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you have any more Avengers Campus questions, drop them in. We can still talk about it in the second half of the show. We have a lot of Marvel news to get through, some really big stuff like Chris Hemsworth's arms, and some other news. So we'll see y'all in 60 seconds.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
All right, welcome back to Phase Zero. The Fantastic Four are here with you. Great job, thank you, Jamie, on the Avengers Campus breakdown, you superstar. And now we are about to get into some big MCU news, including the biggest story of the week, Chris Hemsworth's freaking arm. I mean, the real story is that Thor Love and Thunder wrapped production, which is great. Marvel now has 10 titles in post-production, which is insane. 10. But Thor Love and Thunder wrapped. Chris Hemsworth posted a photo to celebrate with him and Taika Waititi. I actually didn't even notice Taika Waititi was in the photo for the first 20 minutes. Photo's up, because Chris Hemsworth is just gigantic. If he doesn't name his arms Love and Thunder, what's the point? Dez and Troy are back. I don't know what else there is to say about this.
It's insane. It's like he's a comic. Like I know we always kind of joke of like, oh, they look like the comic books, but he looks like the comics. Like, it's honestly impressive. Of like the most outrageous way you can draw Thor's arms. That's just Chris Hemsworth's arms now. Like, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, he just. I mean, it's also the Hulk Hogan arms, because he's bulking up to play the Hulkamaniac. Chris Hemsworth is a dude who obviously loves fitness. He has a fitness app. He loves, you know, exercise and being in shape. He's got that show. I think it's coming to Disney Plus on Nat Geo or something, where he's just kind of testing his body and making sure he's as healthy as can be. I did see a lot of conversations on social media about, you know, the expectation of bodies of male stars and realistic expectations about life. listen, I saw people like criticizing the fact that that's like a expectation. To me, I'm all for the superhero physique. I think like superhero bodies not necessarily meant to look relatable. And it's, I don't know that if it's like a mandate, hey, you have to get huge for this role. But I support any actor who wants to get in super shape to play a superhero. I love it. I love the effort. I appreciate it. I think you look like a comic character come to life. And this is the perfect example. That's just my take. And I know that's people disagree, but I'm all for it. I support that 100%.
I have mixed feelings about that. And I think that it depends. And I think like people like Hemsworth and like The Rock, it's just like they want to do it anyway. It's like part of who mm-hmm. they are. So in those cases, it's like, do your thing. But then you have like Kumail and it's like, well, but I don't know, but he seemed to enjoy doing that. So I don't know. And you get a lot of money. If someone paid me to do that, I'd probably do it too. So
I mean, that's also the thing. Yeah. Gotcha.
I think it's a thing where like the larger conversation is also just about like body image and just the way that like seeing these people in the blockbuster movies with these physiques that aren't necessarily attainable or relatable will kind of morph the way that people look at themselves and put expectations on themselves. So it's like in that like sense, I agree with Jamie. I feel like it's a very conflicted thing, but somebody like Hemsworth and The Rock, where it's like, this is clearly a thing you're passionate about. It's like, yeah, just go for it. But I do feel bad that people then feel they have to do that for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that I understand that. I wish there was a way to convey like Kumail did whenever the like that it's just it's not just implied and stated, but it needs to be known that like a physique like that is not like something you can just do. I mean, I'm in the gym 4 or 5 days a week and I consider myself a pretty average physique, like because I'm comparing myself to somebody like that. And like Kumail laid it out, you can't do this. Like when you're getting into that kind of shape, your meals are made for you. It's your job to work out. You can't have another job. You can't be even, we couldn't be doing this if that was one of our jobs. Like you can't be working at Home Depot or and be an accountant or literally anything or anything in between and maintain that physique and have make a living. Aaron, what's up?
Because do you remember when Chris Pratt was talking about looking at Hemsworth during filming Infinity War and being like, I feel worse about myself looking at Chris mm-hmm. Hemsworth because like it's unattainable. Like he looks like a freaking action figure. And I'm like, Chris Pratt, you real Jack too. This is amazing. Like we're in this like weird tornado of like weird masculinity, right? Because you're right, Brandon. I remember in high school cutting weight for basketball and stuff. And I was eating just peanut butter sandwiches and chicken breast and broccoli for like 4 months. And I only dropped like maybe 15 pounds. I was a little bit stronger. And I was like, it's impossible. You couldn't look like Chris Evans or whatever if you tried. I can't imagine how brutal it must be, you know?
I would love to do it just once. Just for that one Instagram photo where it's like, look at me. I'm perfect. Just once.
It's interesting that it's kind of this has affected men more than I think ever before. Because I think especially like growing up in the 90s, where like especially women's bodies were what a messy time. Where it's like you were supposed to be as like stick skinny as possible when I was growing up, and like that messed my brain up for sure for a long time. The evil part of me is like, haha, see men, see what it's like to have to live up to these expectations. But that's also terrible. Don't do that. Don't. Your body is beautiful no matter what it looks like, and chances are I'm attracted to you no matter what. So
I love it. I mean, like I said, I am all for it when an actor wants to get in that kind of shape. I appreciate the added effort. I think it really just makes it comic book. And it's so, your point, Jamie, like if these movies were being made like 20 years ago, like if Captain Marvel came out 20 years ago, imagine how differently she would have been dressed and the expectation on how she would have looked. She got to wear long sleeves and a shirt. I mean, and a thing like a suit up to here when she was in her superhero costume. That movie came out in 2001.
Part of it's also the comics reflecting that. It's like up until like, it's only been like a decade that Carol has had her Captain Marvel costume. Like before that, mm-hmm. it was kind of variations of like the mini skirt and the sleeveless shirt and all of that stuff. So I think it's a thing that society has had to just gradually improve on. And I'm glad that the movies are now at this point where the female characters are reflecting that. Cause 20, 30 years ago, it would have been a nightmare, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Jenna, remember how long Melissa Benoist like asked for her pants for Supergirl.
It took five seasons. So it's like stuff like that where it's just the costume design is a thing that's always evolving. And so it's interesting to see where like female characters' costumes have evolved to this point where it is a little more comfortable and accessible and stuff. But then it's like the male characters by and large have kind of had the same sort of costume, like especially Chris Hemsworth. It's like, oh, he's wearing the Thunderstrike costume from like the 70s and 80s. So it's this thing where it's interesting seeing, like Jamie said, the dynamic has kind of flipped a little bit, but hopefully not in this like super toxic way. But it's interesting just seeing that whole discourse.
Yeah, I'm all for the actors having that input. Obviously, like Hemsworth is to a point where, like, if he says something, he's going to get his way. And I feel like men have had gotten their way more often than women. And I think that goes without saying throughout the history of entertainment. And now women are finally being able to speak up on it and kind of get the pants they want. You know what I mean?
I mean, look how long it took Elizabeth Olsen to get a costume she wanted. She had this cleavage she did not care for many films. And she said it. And like, I remember reading that she, I think it was Infinity War. She was like, I still have cleavage. And then it's like Endgame. I think she's had it still. And it was like finally WandaVision, they let her wear something that she like was more comfortable in. And I mean, you know, especially like I'm all for, you know, if you like, if somebody wants to dress and show off some things and not like, I'm all for that too. I think like we were saying, like whatever makes you comfortable, but that did not make her comfortable. So I'm so glad that someone finally listened to her.
One more thing I'll add about the Hemsworth of it all. People in the comments have pointed out like this is why Bro Thor would like resonated with so many people and was like such an impactful thing. Because it's like, oh my gosh, we're seeing this character who's usually absolutely jacked, and we're getting to see him in a way that kind of reflects reality a little bit more.
It is so interesting because I've always thought like I've always been like very secure with body image, but I'm one of those people who like people will come up to me and be like, oh man, your arms are like big or something, and I grew up so skinny, and I still look in the mirror and I look at it, and I'm like, yo, what are you talking? I'm very like I consider myself like skinny as hell. And then people like, I don't know. And I think that's because I look at Chris Hemsworth. It's very interesting. And I never thought about it until right now. I just had a moment. Anyway. all right, let's move on. I got the first two episodes of Loki today. And I can't talk about him yet.
I'm so jealous.
I know.
I can't talk about him yet. I know. Everybody wants to know what's going on with Loki. I also want to know what's going on with Loki. It's so weird that that they came so late. I'm doing interviews for Loki at 3 a.m. tomorrow night.
Wow.
So I genuinely think like it's like it's a scheduling thing. I don't know. Because usually if I got something this late, I'd be like, oh, it might not be good. Or like there might be a huge spoiler or there's some reason why they didn't send it. But in this case, I genuinely think it's like a scheduling thing. I think people are all over the world. Yeah. So 3 a.m. I start my interviews this weekend.
Wow.
So that'll be fun. So, but that means on Wednesday's episode of Phase Zero, you'll hear from some Loki. And I can't talk about the episodes today, any reactions. That's coming later this weekend. Jenna talks to Emilia Clarke of Secret Invasion. Ooh. Jenna, tell us about that.
Ooh, it still has not hit me yet, honestly. Like it all came together and it actually happened like so fast that I have not really sat down and processed. Like I talked to Emilia Clarke and she was absolutely wonderful. Like she could not have been better. It was so much fun to just sit and talk with her for like 20 minutes. I talked to her about her comic that's coming out next month, which is called Mother of Madness. Go pre-order it. I cannot recommend it enough. It's like if Fleabag was a superhero, and that is like all you really need to know. Yeah, it is like it has some of my favorite writing and comics that I've read in like the past year. Like I honestly really enjoy it. So
what is her involvement with it?
So she came up with the entire idea. Like she crafted the whole idea and like came up with the origin story and the plot and like all the supporting cast. And then she went with Marguerite Bennett, who actually wrote the Bombshell series, which you and I were talking about off camera earlier. And so she co-wrote it with her. And then there's an artist and a whole creative team that's all female led creative team. And it is just incredible. Like it is such a good comic. And it was so much fun to talk to her about that. And then at the end, I was like, I have to ask about Secret Invasion. I have to bring this up. Because she is also a huge comic fan, which is something that I didn't really know. And so, yeah, I wish I had the full quote pulled up. I don't know why I don't. It should be burned into my brain by now with how much I've written it up. But I did ask her, like, what drew her to the project? Because obviously she's been someone who's been fan cast and theorized as in so many different superhero roles. And basically she did say that she really likes the idea of what Marvel is doing. She called them, like, the Apple of the superhero world because she just thinks they're on the cutting edge of everything. And she did say that she feels like she's in, like, the cool kids club now that she gets to join the MCU. And then she said something along the, like, to the effect of that the what drew her to Secret Invasion was the people that are involved with it, because she said that everyone's hearts and heads are in the right place with this one, and so that's what drew her to that in particular, which, like, I was already super excited for this show, but hearing her talk about it in that way, I'm like even more thrilled, because that cast and crew and like her being so excited about it, I am just so happy.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I hope this like really knocks it out for her, because I feel bad. I feel like she always gets the like least liked thing in a franchise. Solo has really grown on me, but it's, you know, amazing. I think it's still considered, people consider it a bottom tier. I love it. I'm also the only person I know who loves Terminator Genesis, but for the most part, people don't care for that movie. And I'm just like, and then, you know, I also love, I don't mind the last season of Game of Thrones. Like, I'm like pro everything, but I know I'm in the minority. So I'm like really hoping, like, come on, let's let her have something that's really like the best of the best. She deserves it.
I know she could not deserve it more. Like, I am so excited at the idea of her being in the MCU, like more so after talking to her. But it's just like, I feel like whatever role she is in, I know I've theorized about it on previous episodes, but like whatever character she plays, I know she's going to crush it, because she's just going to have so much fun. So that show is just becoming like one of my most anticipated things, honestly. Like every new casting announcement and everything, I'm just like, I am so sold on this show. I know.
I just, Olivia Coleman in my eyeballs is all I want.
I'm so cautiously and curiously excited about the Secret Invasion show, because obviously we know that what the comic story is, but it is such an awesome story, but it uses so many characters, and I'm so curious what they're going to do with that, because they're obviously not going to go that big.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited, but that's really cool. Yeah, well, I don't know how can you do Secret Invasion on such a,
I think that's what's exciting about it to me, is like the fact that you're taking this thing that would be like usually a movie and just making it a limited series. I feel like you can really make it a character driven thing in a way that's really cool. And it's like, we still have no idea who most of the new cast members are playing. So it's like, could be so many major players and just like cameos and whatever else, to where it could feel like the event did, but in this context that actually is more meaningful. I would hate if it was like, we're going to truncate all of Secret Invasion to a 2.5 or 3 hour long movie, because it feels like that would be a disservice to the arc itself. So I think it's really cool that like we get this time to have it actually breathe and be really interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm relating it to like how WandaVision and Captain America or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they had huge character growth, but not like huge implications for like events in the MCU. You know what I mean? Like neither of them. And I'm very curious to see what happens with Loki, if that's going to like have something like what I mean is like, if you didn't watch WandaVision or the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and you went and watched Doctor Strange 2 or Captain America 4, I feel like you would pretty much understand, like you would miss a lot of great character stuff. But if you just watched Endgame, you wouldn't be too lost. Like there was, maybe I'm wrong. I could totally be wrong. Like maybe you need to know about John Walker or something specific. But I'm really curious to see if the Disney Plus shows are going to really deliver like big event moments.
I feel like Loki's going to. But what do I know? I haven't gotten screeners.
I also feel like after The Mandalorian, like especially after season 2 and how many characters they threw in and how much lore they threw in and just moments that fans wanted to see, it's like, I feel like Disney Plus has the potential to do that big like event programming. And so we've had more character driven stuff, but once it gets further along, we can really kind of have that thing where every single episode is something that's going to break the internet.
I'll also always wonder what the endings of Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision would have been without the shutdown altering any of that. But I mean, both shows ended up being hugely entertaining in terms of impact on the MCU. It was character growth, which is awesome. But for Secret Invasion, I don't know what you're going to do there. We'll see.
Big personal news. I still haven't gotten my WandaVision tattoo, but I made an appointment for a second WandaVision tattoo.
Wow.
Wait. So you haven't got the first, but you're already scheduled for the second.
Well, yeah, I'm actually getting the second one first now, because the first one's not till July. So the second one, first one is coming in 2 weeks. So
nice.
Exciting stuff.
All right. I can't wait till the day Jamie comes on here and shows us all her WandaVision tattoos. It's going to be a good day. We're just going to have to do an episode live from the tattoo shop. We're just gonna have to set up.
Oh, you don't want to see that. That's not me at my best.
That's not me at my best. You're not one of the addicted to the tattoo pain.
No, I hate it. I just discovered numbing cream and it's changed my life. I'm not. I don't like pain. I don't. I hate it. So numbing cream is the way to go for tattoos.
I find the tattoo. My girlfriend's one of those people who like loves the tattoo needle. Like has her whole arm covered and like wants to get more because she loves the feeling of getting tattoos. And I'm like, second thoughts for me.
Yeah, she has a sleeve. She's
She's covered. She's covered.
I'm like one at a time. Yeah. So I'm not that cool. So
Ryan reflects in the comment section, agrees with you. I don't like pain. Same, Jamie. All right. She-Hulk. Oh my gosh. This poor girl, not She-Hulk. She-Hulk is not the poor girl in reference. Nope. The actress / stunt person / girl who probably is going to have trouble working with Marvel again. Her name's Anais Almonte. So she worked on She-Hulk. She shared photos with Mark Ruffalo and in some form of a costume and with like, I think it was like a red wig on, which clearly looks like a Titania like wig. She was super excited. She shared all these photos and all the internet did there. Like we did our job. We have to report on that. And as we were like, I remember we were having a chat when this first dropped, we saw it. I think we saw it on the direct first. Mm-hmm. And then it got dropped into our work chat and everybody was just like, this poor girl, she knows not what she's done.
I had to write the article and the entire time I was like physically in pain. Like I was just genuinely uncomfortable. It was like, I felt so bad for this girl. Like I know it's a thing that just happens. Like it happens every couple of projects where somebody just has this happen and they don't necessarily know what they're doing is wrong. But it was just the whole time I was just like, oh no, like I felt so, so bad.
I'm surprised. Like, how do you not know not to do that?
I know.
I mean, like you have to, there has to be NDAs. There has to be, I mean, even just going to Avengers campus, the amount of times they said to us, you cannot post anything until 8 PM. I heard it 80 times that day. So I'm like, I'm just surprised that this can happen.
I know.
It's so shocking that, I mean, like, I would just assume, like, if you're involved with any major studios project, it would just be like an unspoken thing. Yeah. Don't post this without us, but especially Marvel. I mean, I just imagine this girl must be super unfamiliar with Marvel and the conversations that surround it and stuff. But I don't know. That's crazy that, yeah, I saw the post and I was just like, this girl. And then it was deleted, of course, within. But all the comments were like from her friends, like, so happy for you. Good job. You deserve it. And then you'd find a couple that were like, are you sure you can post this? And it was like, yeah. But anyway, listen, she's the girl. I looked at her Facebook page. She's super fit. I think she's a trainer. I think she was a stand in for somebody. I'm pretty sure what I've heard is that Jamila is playing Titania. So I believe this may have been a stand-in for Titania or a stunt person for Titania. And Titania's a character first appeared in Secret Wars, right?
Yes.
Well, created by the Beyonder? Or somebody in Secret Wars?
Yeah. Wait,
I don't want to go too crazy there and say this is like a Secret Wars thing, but it's cool to have that pulled in. Am I right on that? Is that accurate?
I'm pretty sure from what I remember, but I don't have it pulled up in front of me. But yeah, I will say Jim did point out when we were talking about it yesterday that, like, of course, Mark Ruffalo is in the middle of another Marvel spoiler. Like, of course, it's just perfectly on brand for him.
He's like, probably like, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
He didn't even do anything this time. Poor fella. Well, Mark Ruffalo is definitely in She-Hulk. So there's that. Lego set revealed Tony Stark's What If episode. He is building like a Hulkbuster / maybe a Mark One of some sort on Sakaar. I have heard Robert Downey Jr. is in fact voicing Tony Stark for this. So that's interesting because it first came out. Jeff Goldblum said he's doing an episode on Sakaar. Iron Man is in it. Robert Downey Jr. is going to record. Then a week later, The Wrap wrote a report that said he's not. It's not Robert Downey Jr. doing this. He's not in it. But I heard very recently Robert Downey Jr. is voicing Tony Stark, which, like, thank God. The only thing I would think about the whole time watching that would be, like, who is this voice and why are they voicing Iron Man? Anyway, yeah. I'm excited for What If. Aaron, are you hyped up for What If?
Oh.
Aaron?
Yeah, I'm here. I am excited. It seems like it's going to be really interesting. I just, you know, we keep getting little nuggets of what the episodes are going to be about beforehand. And I think that just like with the Spider-Man stuff, it might be better to go in like without knowing anything. Cause like we got that Jeff Goldblum quote about, like, okay, that's cool. But now that I know, I'm like, okay, we know exactly what that one's going to be. There's been some other stuff like floating around about some of the other installments. We already knew the Peggy Carter as Cap thing was coming. We already knew about the T'Challa being Star-Lord one. So like that's half the season, or at least a fourth of the season right there. I wonder what else we're going to get really surprised by, because it seems like Brandon said, they said they're bringing back a lot of the voice talent for all of this stuff. So between that and Loki, we should be in for a lot of weird multiverse stuff. And it's just going to keep building and building and building as we go until we get to Doctor Strange, which is rivaling, and Spider-Man, both of them rivaling Knives Out 2 for like people in the cast. There's so many people.
Janelle and Catherine, I don't know if they can top that duo.
You don't know who they're casting for Multiverse of Madness. Janelle Monáe could pop up. We don't know. We have no idea. They keep adding people to see.
Look at Jamie. like a chicken, like looking at like. Like what's
the? You gotta say the name Janelle Monáe, and I'm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
like a dog.
Doctor Strange's cast is so much bigger than people know about. That movie, and I don't know anything for sure, but I know enough to know that some of it's going to be true, that movie is going to be so insane. The fact that they're saying like Thor 4 is like a mini Avengers movie, like I really feel like Doctor Strange 2 is just going to be like insane. And we just aren't hearing about it yet because Spider-Man has to come first, I think. So that movie's going to be wild.
Brandon, are you going to Peter Rabbit 2 to try to see the trailer?
I have reason to believe the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer will not be here for Peter Rabbit 2. It's going to be after that. It's going to be a longer wait than
opportunity.
That. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, it's a Sony movie. They're going to put the Spider-Man trailer with the Sony movie. I don't believe that. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to, I have heard it's going to take longer than that. Rachel Weisz went on Jimmy Kimmel Live and she was shooketh when Jimmy Kimmel said that Melina's last name is Vostokov, saying what all of us, I guess we only assumed but didn't know, that Melina is Melina Vostokov, a.k.a. a character who goes on to become Iron Maiden in the comics. I have said from day one, I believe Melina is Taskmaster at some point in the movie. And that's going to be like the kind of amalgamation of the Iron Maiden villain / Taskmaster, because I don't think we're obviously not going to get Tony Masters. Anybody have thoughts? Anybody have thoughts on this?
No, I agree completely. Like, it's one of those things where we're at the point in the MCU where if a character only gets a first name, but we know like what world of the comics that they should be in, it's like we can kind of put two and two together. So it was so funny to me that she was on this interview and was like, oh my gosh, my character's last name. I can't believe you revealed that. It's like, I thought we all kind of knew that already.
Yeah. I need to pull it up because I got to interview her at Comic-Con when like right after they introduced her. And I immediately was just like, your character's name is Melina. There's a character named Melina who goes on to become Iron Maiden. And I'm pretty sure she was just like, I need to find that interview. I don't know if we ever put it on YouTube. It might just be buried in our website's video player. I need to dig that up, though. Wanda's accent is returning in Doctor Strange 2. Sokovia lives on. That's exciting. I mean, I think that just shows that when she's outside of Westview, she is Wanda Matt, like really herself and not this American sitcom version of herself. Jamie, I want your thoughts.
Well, you know, I have them. I'm excited because you know, what's funny. I have a good friend of mine is actually, her name is Elizabeth Olsen. And I know. And so she kind of hates Elizabeth Olsen just because, you know, she's older than her. And now she
what
has
in
to
the
like,
multiverse of madness is this.
I know. And so she like, she hates that I love her because it's like, I'm the only Elizabeth Olsen in your life. And so she used to be like, well, I don't know how good she is. She's losing that accent. And I, the main argument, like she's been learning from the best spy in the world. She's training, she's getting better. So I just love that they've really spelled it out why it's happening. So no one can argue this with me anymore. And I'm excited that it's coming back because they worked really hard on Ultron to perfect that accent and create that accent. And I think it's cool that it's going to be back.
I'm with it. Well, this is the part of the show where we've run out of things to talk about. If anybody has any questions, go ahead and drop them in the comment section. We are reading the comments from Facebook and Twitch, and we are happy to answer any questions. Aaron, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I don't think we're doing much this weekend. Last weekend was the big weekend for me and our household because my girlfriend turned 31 and she wanted to go skydiving.
Wow.
So we actually went skydiving on
Monday. You go, Aaron?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was not planning to. I woke up that day and I was like, I'm here for moral support. And then as we got closer, her anxiety spiked and I could tell she's like, I don't really want to do this alone. I'm like, well, I don't want to do it, period. But I will help you. I will do it. So we registered for tandem jump. You watch a video where they tell you that you could probably die about 31 times. And then, you strap in. And then they gave me goggles and I started joking around. Like I started laughing with her, like while we were like getting ready, I was in the background like, is there any trees? Anybody have a trash can lid? Can I throw a trash can lid at a tree with these goggles on and take it for Instagram? And so we did it. We jumped out. It was wild. You dangle your feet out of the plane and then you just sort of tumble. And it made me laugh because in every movie you see them like jump. And I'm like, oh, there was no jumping. There was just like, oh, and I was in the air at 13,000 feet. It was wild.
Oh, my God. Like, you are a wonderful partner. No amount of love. There's no one love in my life enough to jump out of a plane for. Oh,
man. I know. Me neither.
I was skydiving one time. It's one time.
It's one time.
Yeah. I hate heights and I hate the like fear of falling. So like that is an absolute no. Like I can't even do the indoor one where you know it's okay and safe. Like that would still just terrify me.
Somebody in the comment section just asked. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna jump around about like, yeah, don't force yourself if you don't think about it. Because as I was flying up, I was like, is this smart? I don't know.
Somebody in the comments asked how long the first episode of Loki is. I just pulled it up. It's a little under an hour. I got it right here. I'm looking at it. How does that feel, everybody?
Jealous.
Loki predictions. This is the last time I'll be able to safely do this without watching them. I actually don't really have predictions. I really don't know. Like, I think we'll see one form of Kang, like one of the like versions of him in a timeline trying to conquer a timeline, maybe. But I don't think this will happen, but I think this would be a really emotional, clever, heartbreaking, satisfying thing to see. Is that the only way the show could end is if Loki like corrects the timeline by going back to where he left. So like he goes on this journey and all this stuff, and then he just has to accept his fate, even though he now knows it. And he goes back to live it out. So he goes back to 2012 where he disappeared from to put the Infinity Stone back where it was, but ultimately knows that means he's going to get killed by Thanos. That would be interesting, but I don't think it would happen. That would also contradict either, I don't know, Russo Brothers time travel theory or Marcus and McFeely's time travel theory. But yeah, I think that'd be crazy.
I don't have any predictions, but I can tell you what I want to happen. And all I want in this world is for a Coulson appearance. I mean, I want that show to, he killed him. I think that they need to sit down. They need to talk about that. So that's the only thing that I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen, but that's my dream scenario is a little Coulson appearance.
And punching and kissing.
Yes. I mean,
always.
Yeah. You know, I never thought about Loki kissing Coulson, but now I'm thinking about it.
In like a week's time, you're going to be thinking about Loki and Morbius. Like that's just, that's going to be your next thing. Honestly, like I can predict that now.
Oh,
what about season two of Loki? I've heard it's happening. I believe a season two is going to happen. This, I don't think a lot of the Disney Plus shows are going to get season twos. I think Loki is one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say your theory about him like going back to the point where he like time traveled from. I feel like that could be the thing when they are absolutely done with the show. But I feel like until then, he's just going to probably be hanging out with the TVA in some capacity. Like this feels like a thing you could keep going as many seasons as you really want, and then you just plop him right back where he left off, and then it's fine.
What if he plucks another Loki that's similar enough in another timeline and then takes him back to 2012 or whatever and puts him there with the Tesseract and he gets to go free which is what we like to call a Rick Sanchez. Like, what if that's how that works out? Because I can see that happening. He's still kind of a jerk in 2012. He hasn't learned, had all the character growth he's supposed to have yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Joe Allen on YouTube said, all I want from Loki is Owen Wilson to say his infamous, wow.
I love it.
You know what wowed me? Wedding Crashers 2 is filming this summer.
Wow.
That is exciting.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if that's a movie we need, but...
Certainly don't need it. Certainly got to watch it.
Yeah.
I thought the first Wedding Crashers was hilarious when I was too young to understand it. So, yes, I did a good impression. Ro Finerdary said I did not see the impression yet. It's better than my Tom Holland saying. Time. Yeah, is that somehow better than me being Tom Holland saying Spider-Man?
Try to say croissant. That's always that one word that everyone makes fun of him for because he can
I'm not touching it.
All right. I'm so disappointed. They have a whole movie of him going to Europe and he never said croissant. And I was like, this was a missed opportunity. I wanted to hear him butcher that word like he does in every single interview.
Oh, good. Tom Holland, you national treasure of the UK. All right, everybody. I feel like that's a good show for the day. The Fantastic Four, you guys are fantastic. Wow, I have so many words in my brain. Jamie, any final words, you Avengers Campus Cruella review superstar?
I also saw F9, and it was the most fun I've had watching a movie in a very long time. My review is up on the site if you want to read it. It's not good, but it's also amazing. So
I wish I liked it as much as you did.
I'm so easy to please when it comes to that stuff. I just want, like, just punch soap opera. That's my jam. So.
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah, read my review.
Aaron.
What's up? Oh,
what's up?
Just about to say, like, we have, I'm like, what I do? So we got Cram stuff coming next week for a comic book. We have all Loki explainers. We have who is Mobius? What is the Time Variance Authority?
It technically starts today. So if
it starts
you want
today.
To well, because since it premieres on Wednesday, we started it today. Mm-hmm. So we technically have a week's worth of stuff. So yeah, if you want to start checking our site today, then you'll get Loki content every day until the premiere. So exactly. If you want to continue plugging that.
Okay. Wait, Jenna, do you have something out today?
I don't think my stuff starts running until tomorrow. Do you have anything publishing today?
I think I do. I think I have Mobius Explainer today, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome.
If it's the first day. Which me and Brandon, we don't know what day it is, we don't know what time it is, we don't know. We got Back Issues Loki, that's Nicole Drum, did that up for us. How the Disney series sets up multiple Marvel Studios projects, so if you're wondering how it's going to seed into the rest of it, that's our buddy Cam Bonamalo. And we got an MCU timeline explainer from Charlie Ridgely, who is not here this week as well. So go check all that stuff out. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Oh, we don't get to watch the episode like Brandon, but we get to write about it, you know.
Snaps for Brandon.
But yeah, that's all y'all I got. Know.
Yeah, I'll let y'all know how it is, though. Jenna, anything for your sign-off here? The world is yours.
Oh, gosh, that's a lot of pressure. But yeah, tune into the Loki Cram just on our site throughout the week. I have explainers for Ravonna Renslayer, who has one of the most complicated comic backstories I've ever read. I felt like I was losing my mind writing that article. I have an explainer about Mark Grunwald, who is a really prolific comic creator who is the inspiration for Mobius. He is literally the basis of the entire character. I have one for the Squadron Supreme, which, going back to the Loki predictions, that is my number one prediction, that the Squadron Supreme shows up in some capacity. And yeah, just keep tune in for all of that stuff. That'll be fun. And then I mentioned it on Twitter, next Thursday, probably around 7 or so, I am going to do a live stream for all of you who have wanted to see my pop collection. I will go live and I will talk about that and just whatever the nerdy stuff. So tune into that if you want, because that will hopefully be fun.
Go follow Jenna for the pop tour at Hey It's Jenna Lynn. Let's go. I'll have my Loki reactions this weekend. I'll have interviews with the cast of and writer director of Loki Sunday, maybe Monday. I don't know. It starts at 3 a.m. Who knows when that's coming out? And then we'll have an episode of Phase Zero moving to Wednesdays to recap Loki and to break it down and react and all the fun stuff and the rest of the MCU news that happens between now and then. If you're watching us on Twitch, make sure you hit the follow. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe. If you're watching us on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. Unless you don't like us, then don't leave one. And if you're watching on Spotify, send a link to a friend and get us a new listener ahead of Loki, because it's about to be 6 weeks of madness. Oh my God. Actually, what are we going to do? We have Loki on Wednesday, June or July 7th. And then we have Black Widow on July 9th.
Oh.
Two shows a week. Feature.
Let's go two.
Bonus episode.
Ooh. I think we're going to have to do two episodes that week. All right, everybody. That's today's show. Hit me up at Brandon Davis PD if you want to talk more. Hashtag Phase Zero. We check that like sometimes. And that's it. Bye.